church for a long, long, long time. And someday I'll do it. And that is to preach through the Gospel of John. I've taught that a lot of times in Bible college, at Central, and all over the place. And I've taught that, and I've taught that, and it takes a long time. And I really, really am eager to do that, but it's not yet. It's not time yet. And when it is time, I'll be super, super excited about that. But what I want to do tonight is I want to talk, as we begin, I want to give just a little bit of that. And I want to share just a little bit of some stuff from the book of John. So let's pray. And after that, we'll dive into the book of John a little bit. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you might help us as we dive into your word, and as we read through it, as we study it, as we try to apply it to our lives. And I pray that you will just be glorified in the words that are said and our actions. Lord, give us a heart like yours. Change us and mold us into the person that you would have us to be. And every single one of us in this room, picture someone that we would like to know, to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and to live for you. And I pray that as we open your word, as we study it, that you might, it might just convict us of a way that we might do that. Bless us this evening. And in your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know yourself, right? And whether you like to admit it or not, you know your strengths and weaknesses. Yesterday there was a few of us who met with here at the church. We met with somebody in a little meeting, and I learned one of my weaknesses. And I said, there's a guy that has strength in an area that I never will. And that's what I left after talking to that man, thinking about. And I know some of my weaknesses, and I know many of the things that I'm not good at. And one of the things that I am not good at is just simply making simple, easy, small talk about things. There are some people that are so good at, you know, they'll just walk into a room and they just go from person to person and they never run out of things to say. If you get me talking about Jesus Christ or the Bible and get me excited about that and I get going, I could talk to you all night about that topic. But if you want to talk about the weather or I don't want to talk about politics. I really don't. I will have that conversation, but I don't want to. And there are just some topics that when people start talking about them, I'm not good at keeping the conversation going. I know that's one of my weaknesses. And I know you have weaknesses too. And sometimes that can translate into those moments where sharing the gospel, you're sitting here and you're going, I will, in my mind, and maybe you do this too, this is a person I would like to, little by little, begin working on them and sharing the gospel with them. And I want to build that relationship, and I want to make those doors, open those doors, and build that relationship so I can share my faith with them. That's difficult. Right now I got a couple of neighbors that I want to share the gospel with. And making small, you know, I can, hi, how you doing? And try to be polite and to talk to them. And I try to work on these weaknesses. So I try to go out of my way to talk to them. But sometimes, as we've said, We are praying, investing, and inviting. So I got two neighbors, one next door to me and one across the road, that I'm praying for. That wasn't something that I didn't have neighbors that lived that close at camp. But when we moved, that was the first I said, I want to pray and really go out of my way. The people that are right next door to me, that it's easy to say, no, so that's my neighbor. I want to go out of my way to try and spread the gospel to them. So I'm trying to start the small talk. And I'm thinking, how can I get conversation to head towards, I'd like you to come to church. I'd like to come to one of our concerts at church, or to come on out on a Sunday morning. And I'm working on it. And I'm trying. And you know what that looked like this week? Was just going and shoveling your driveway. That's something I could do. And that opened a little bit of a door. Had another nice conversation. And we're working on it. Sometimes, God gives you those moments where sharing the gospel is a little bit easier, and you just know that it was God that did that. I know one time I had a young man come up to me and say, I'm not so sure I believe in God, and I don't know if I want to have anything to do with him. And I don't know why, and I wouldn't suggest that you do this, but it was just a Holy Spirit thing, and it was the right time. I took my finger, put it on his chest, and I said, I believe in Jesus Christ. The evidence from the Bible that I see, I feel is legitimate. The evidence that I've seen in my life is legitimate. I know he's answered my prayers. And he's done things, and in the world around me, as I watch, Jesus Christ is alive, well, and I'm going to heaven, and I know that, and it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I said that to him. I've never done that to anybody else like that. Put my finger right into their chest and look at them sternly in the eyes and have that conversation. Only did that once. But 4 days later, that boy accepted Jesus Christ and his person to say it. Last I knew, he was still professing and trying to live that life. And that's not, in no way, shape, or form, is that Scott Wilson. You have to understand that. That's not me. I'm not a put my finger on somebody and speak sternly into their eyes in that type of situation. That's not me. And there have been other times passing out gospel tracts, Bibles, sharing my faith with somebody, having a casual conversation that led. There's all sorts of ways that you pray about, and at the right time, God leads to you what you're supposed to do and how you're going to share your faith. But there are all sorts of different people in the Bible. And in the Gospel of John, they say John is written differently than the other three Gospels. And many of you know that the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're given this special fancy name that nobody really cares about, that they're called the Synoptic Gospels. Most people, I care about that name, but most people are like, okay, they're the Synoptic Gospels. They parallel each other so closely. And I say, you read those Gospels, and the Holy Spirit inspired those guys to give, like, the newspaper account of the life of Jesus Christ. Then you get to the Gospel of John, and God said, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they tell the story this way. But you need to tell it a little bit differently. So it's harmonious with the first three, but it's going to tug at people a little bit differently. It's going to do all sorts of different things as people read it. Doesn't make one superior to the other. It's just different. And when I read the Gospel of John, it really tugs at my heart in some ways. When I read the book of Matthew, I cannot get through the book of Matthew without the words of Jesus Christ convicting my heart and making me examine myself in light of Jesus Christ and in light of eternity. But when I get to John, I see all sorts of neat things. And I find it to be a fascinating book. And I think one of the things that the Holy Spirit was doing with John as he wrote this book, he said, when you place a character into this book, make that character really mean something. And make him not just come into the story of Jesus and pass out the other, but when he comes into the story, you've really got to make people be able to relate to him. And so I tell kids, I say the characters in the book of John, they're long dead and gone. They're in heaven and they've been here for a while. And the legacy that they have left is printed in this book. And so what I have them do is I have them take all the characters in the book of John, and we make little tombstones because they've passed on. And we write on their tombstones. And so we get to John the Baptist, and we put something under his name. And we get to Peter, and we put something under his name. And we do that all through the book of John. We take the time, and we put something under this guy's name, and under that guy's name. And under that guy's name, and we do that. So at the end of the year, they should be able to come to the test, and I say, here's a bunch of people, tell me what you would write on their tombstone. And because we have reviewed it so much, usually the kids, I'm amazed at what the kids can do. I'm amazed at what they can put down, and the things that they are able to learn. But there's one guy that I'd like us to look at and to take a look at. And I just want to look at three passages about him. And what I put under his name on his tombstone is he brought others to Christ. He brought others to Christ. And I challenge the kids. I say at the end of your life, and what I like to challenge people as we're looking at the book of John, is at the end of your life, what are people going to put on your tombstone? Me personally, what I would like is I'd like, he never got over the fact that Jesus loved him. That's what I'd like it to be left with. But I think what would be left underneath Andrew's tombstone is he brought others to Christ. And that's not original to me. And one of the things is I learned in this church, and what I've always used when talking about Andrew is something that I learned in this church with the Andrew Project. Who's got the Andrew Project? And it's a big part of their ministry. I know we talked about that and talked about that and talked about that in this church. Do you remember who headed up the Andrew Project? Remember when Franklin Graham came to town and Pastor had on the announcements, Operation Andrew and the Andrew Project, invite your brother to Christ. So obviously I wasn't the first one that picked up on this, and I won't be the last, but what I try to tell children is when you see Andrew in the Gospel of John, when his name pops up, he's bringing this person to Christ. He's bringing this person to Christ. And I try to make a big deal about the fact that when we see Andrew in the book of John bringing people to Christ, often he brings one person or a couple of people to Christ, and the effect explodes to thousands. Right? Because in John chapter 1, in verses 40 to 42, In John chapter 1, verse 40, it says, "One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first brought his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus." Here we see Andrew bringing his brother to Christ. And under Peter's, you know, you could put all sorts of things under Peter's name on his tombstone. But I put charismatic leader. You know, the guy who would later lead thousands to Christ. And this bold guy and stuff. And things. And I always say, you need Andrews in order to have Peters. And Peters often make Andrews. And it's kind of a cycle that just keeps on repeating itself in this world. And every single one of us in this room are different. Some people would never want to speak out loud or in front of a group of people. Some people, they'd always want to speak out in the crowd and always want to be the center of what's going on. Some people like to serve behind the scenes. Some people like their ministry to be outside of the walls of the church. Some people are prayer warriors and you would never know it. There was a person that I had to have an honest conversation with someone and said, "I didn't think that that's what kind of person that was." I said, "I came here to church forever, and I always thought the person never got involved with church. They just came to church on Sunday morning, and that was it." And then I found out how much of a prayer warrior, a quiet servant of Jesus Christ, but a real, real prayer warrior that person was. A real prayer warrior. And I never knew it. And you might serve the Lord one way, and you might look across, and you might say, "That person isn't serving like me." Oh, please don't say that. Because you don't know what they're doing behind the scenes or what they might be doing for the Lord or what would be written underneath their tombstone. Maybe they're an Andrew, bringing one person to Christ at a time. You just don't know it. And they work real hard to try and go out of their way to find that one person. Let's look over in the book of John chapter 6. John chapter 6, as we try to look and see why we are going to put on Andrew's tombstone, "He brought people to Christ." In John chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, "One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Jesus," you know what says him there, but so we all got the picture, "says to Jesus, 'There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?'" And we look here at Andrew as he brings this boy up to Christ. And it's not much. But here, "I'm going to bring this boy to Christ. And what is this among all these people?" Jesus says, "Here, let me show you." And I say, this sounds a lot like what he did with Peter just a little bit ago. He brought his brother Peter to Christ, and maybe Andrew would have said this about Peter. "Hey, Peter, come meet Jesus." And maybe when he brought, being brothers, right, couldn't you see Andrew say, "Hey, Jesus, I'd like to introduce you to Peter. I know he's not much to look at, but then couldn't you see Jesus saying, "Yeah, he might not seem like much, but wait till you see what he looks like when I get done with him." Just like Andrew says, what is this amongst all and an amazing miracle? I challenge my 7th graders with this when I talked about this. And I said, I can take, and in my mind, and I said, I want you guys to stop. You've heard this story before, but I'd like you to picture it in your mind. Picture some of the miracles that Jesus did. Turning water into wine. Can't you picture a pot of water there? Jesus dipping, or whoever, dipping into there, and it being poured out wine. You can picture that in your mind, right? And then in your mind, can't you picture a layman who's been laying by, I mean, it's impossible and it's hard for us to believe, but can't you see this layman who's been standing up and walking? Can't you in your mind visualize how the blind receive sight and some of the other miracles that we read about in the Gospels? But when it comes to Jesus feeding the 5,000 or feeding the 4,000, how have you ever tried to visualize that? The bread and the fish just being multiplied? Like, in my mind, you know, being broken off and in my mind, it's gone after about 2 seconds. Is that that way anybody else thinks about it and has thought about it? It's just gone. This miracle, I think to myself, I thought, God, I want to see that. Now, I hope that you can give us the big screen panoramic view of that miracle. Because I want to see how you just miraculously made that food come out of nowhere. I know it happened, but I'd like to see it. I really want to see that one. And I hope that's the way you feel too. Let's continue and let's look at Andrew bringing others to Christ. John chapter 12 and verse 20. Let's see Andrew bringing others to Christ. John chapter 12 and verse 20. In John 12, in verse 20, it says, "Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' Philip came and told Andrew. And in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus." And I think that as we looked at this and we noticed something, we saw Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. Andrew turns around and a couple chapters later, he's bringing this lad to Jesus. And now here, these guys come to Philip and they say, "We want to see Jesus." I think there's a reason that they went to Philip and they approached him, and we could talk about, but that's not the point of what we're after here. But Philip says, "Okay, you guys want to go meet Jesus? I know the perfect person to introduce you to Jesus. It's Andrew." Because that's what Andrew does, is he brings others to Jesus Christ. And I hope that there are some people in this room that enjoy talking to others, introducing other people to Jesus. But maybe you're not quite there yet, and you're nervous about that. Why not say, "Hey, I've got somebody that I'd like to know about Jesus, and I know that you like to, why don't you take a look and look around and see, is there somebody who's really good at sharing the gospel?" And maybe I could say to that person, "Hey, would you mind if me and my friend came over, and we all had a conversation about Jesus?" And so, you, as the Philip, you're the Philip in the story, and you have a friend or friends that you'd like to talk about Jesus, but you don't feel very confident in that, I'd like you to look for an Andrew and say, "Can I bring over my friend from work and we can have a conversation about Jesus? We can tag team him and talk to him about the gospel together." Yeah. Hey, if you got to tag team somebody into heaven, it's worth it. Right? Even if you got to tag team into heaven, that's worth it. So, you know what? I've been talking this whole time. I forgot to put these things up. here. Okay. Andrew brought Peter. He brought the lad with the loaves and the fish. And he brought the Greeks to Jesus. So I got talking. I forgot that that was even up there. So I apologize for that. But if you don't get an opportunity to write these notes down, I know that Barb Guernsey will send these out to you. Or you can email me and I can send you a copy of these. And they're always available for you. So if you miss the notes or you miss something and you'd like it, even if you'd like the extended version, I give out a version that I give to Barb and that it's similar to what's up there. But if you'd like the extended version, I can give you that too. Because the version I give Barb is one page, my version's a few more pages. So even if you want the extended version, I can give that to you also. Okay? So let's take the opportunity, any opportunity, to share the gospel with someone else. We want to be an Andrew. We have prayed for them. We've been diligent in praying for them. And we've invested. We've done small talk, even when we're not good at that. Like I said, I'm not. We've gone out of our way to offer our time, our finances, because we know that treasures in heaven are better than treasures in earth, and the investment is worth it. We've done things like shovel their driveway, bake them cookies, and done all sorts of things to invest our time into the kingdom of Christ to try and win these people. And now we're inviting. We say we want to be an Andrew. We want to witness. We want to share the gospel. And what should we do? Maybe we should share a prayer and pray for them. Ask them if we can pray with them. We have been investing in their lives. They know we care. We have been talking to them, building the relationship. And now we hear about their problems. And maybe the first thing that we do, the one thing that we could do, is we could pray. And we could ask them. We could just simply go out of our way and say, would you mind if I prayed with you? Are there a few people who will say no? Yeah, there are a few. But will most people say, yeah, you could pray with me? Most people will. And maybe, they would come to you when they know that you need prayer. I am reminded of this a little bit recently. This was not someone that I was trying to win to the Lord. But I like to, when I get done with a conversation with someone on the phone, if I have opportunity, I like to say, before I get off the phone with you, would you mind if I prayed with you? And recently I had someone say no. I don't think I would like that. And they said no. And I knew that this person was going through a lot. And they said, I will pray for you, but I will respect your opinion and I will not pray with you. Just know that. And I hung up the phone. You know that person called back a half an hour later and said, I'd like you to pray with me. And that's what happens when we do those types of things. And I was so encouraged by that. And in conversation since with that person, I've been able to say, can I pray with you? And they say, you know that I'd like you to pray with me. And so don't be afraid. That's a good invitation. If you can pray with that person. Imagine if you had an invitation to a powerful person's house and they had the opportunity for you to bring anything to their request. You could picture a king. You could picture a president. You could even picture the mayor, a senator, a city councilman. and they invite you over to their house, and they say, I'd like to have a conversation with you. And you could bring a guest. Wouldn't you, do you think that you wouldn't even invite, like if you were invited to have dinner with the president, and you were invited to the White House, and they said, bring, and the president in the invitation said, you can bring 20 people with you. Do you think you would go alone? If the invitation said you could bring 20 people with you? No, of course you would go. You would probably have people asking if they could go with you. And they would you would probably, after you filled those 20 places, people would say, well, when you get there, could you tell the president this? Don't you think that would happen? Absolutely. We've got an invitation to the throne room of God every single day. And he wants to hear our requests. And he has more power to answer those requests than the president of any country or king of any country ever has. He will answer those requests. And even if it's not the way we would like him to answer those requests, he will take those requests and those prayers, and he will work it out for our good in his own way and in his wisdom. And we can trust in that. So we need to pray. And I don't think a month goes by where we don't read this verse. And we've got God's phone number. We've got God's phone number memorized in this church, right? And that's a good thing. But you don't even have to look there, because you know that I'm not reading the wrong verse. You all know it's Jeremiah 33:3. And it says, call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Take time to ask people to pray, and challenge them with that verse. Like I said, we share this verse often, and we always talk about it. It's time that we, as a group of believers, we take this verse, and we share it with others and say, would you mind if I prayed with you today? Because God's going to answer those things, and I believe that God answers those things. And if you'd like another verse that says that God will intervene, let's look in our Bibles to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. In Psalm 91, verses 14 to 16, it says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And I think that I pick these two verses together because I see, as I look in Psalm 19, I have to think that Jeremiah and David were kind of cut from the same cloth. And a lot of times the things that I see David talking about, and I picture him living out in the Psalms, I see Jeremiah kind of doing the same thing. But as I look in this passage, I think as people come and they share their problems with us, we could say, in Psalm 91, it says that God, if we call on God, he will answer us. He'll be with us in trouble. And he will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And we see that the person who prays, God works in their lives. I don't see anything in there that says that our lives are going to be perfect if or that we're going to be just showered upon with riches beyond our wildest imagination and no problems will occur. But I see that God will be with us in trouble. And so when people come to us with troubles, we can say, God will be with you in trouble. And when we see that we're lost and hurting, that God will deliver us. He'll be our deliverer. And that God will be there with us. And He'll listen to our requests. And so we have some of these verses that when somebody is in need of prayer, we can say, you know, I believe the Bible, and I believe the Bible says that God will answer your prayers. Can I pray with you? I've got a testimony that I am, like I said last week on Sunday morning, I am very, very excited about sharing. But I've still got 3 or 4 points that till I get to the point where I'm going to share that. I had intended to share that tonight, but I'm not going to get there. Next week, I plan on finishing this up, but looking at a couple more ways that we can go out of our way to share our faith and a testimony of how if we pray, if we invest, and then we invite, God will do the miraculous. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God. I thank you for the way it works in our lives, and I pray, Lord, that you will help us to actively be involved in praying for the lost, investing in their lives, and inviting them to Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray this week that you will help all of us to once ask a person that we would like to see come to know Jesus Christ if we could pray with them about something. Lord, that might be hard, that might be nervous, make us nervous, but Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will help us to be able to do that once this week. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.